Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast. It's me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Today, we're going to start diving into the Adeptus Sororitas, who are known as the Sisters of Battle, although we'll dive into that in the next cast. There actually is a difference between the Adeptus Sororitas and the Sisters of Battle.
Not if you're going to just call them nuns with guns.
Yeah, it's always a term. So as always, before we begin the cast, please like and comment on it. We've had a great explosion. As we've said before, we're in the top 100 podcasts. This is out of 6 million, by the way. We say top 100 you know, out of
I,
6
million. I refuse million. To not try to pat myself on the back, even though my arms are wildly reach. Too short.
You need a long
stick. I can't even touch my shoulders, let alone my back.
Yeah.
But that with us, Danny.
He says that with pride. You know what I can't do? Scratch something.
Look at I might be a T-Rex.
It's like when I had my bulldog spayed. They were like, does she need a cone? Like, have you not seen a bulldog before? like
but John Selly is short. We got up to 31, and I'm proud of that. And I refuse to not say
at what point that was in the U.S. We actually were above that in some other countries.
No, I'm talking about just the total. The 31 was the U.S., and then we were higher than that in a lot of international markets. But screw not taking.
I'm just happy we were top 100 at one point in Norway. And so I want to thank you all, but also sorry for our English. I'm just going to tell you that right now because I'm 100% you guys learned that English in class.
I'm very good friends with a lot of Scandinavians, and all of them speak English better than me and other languages. And I always go, you know what? He's from Philadelphia, which is my least favorite city in the United States.
From Ohio. You know, just saying, like, you.
Just saying, your city's falling apart.
We founded the country. You made it look like we should give it
back. You didn't change your streets to not be defending cavalry charges.
Right, but I'm pretty sure like England wouldn't take us back now because of Ohio.
I think they wouldn't take us back because of Philadelphia. Sorry, English people, but yes. But with that going on, we would really like to thank you for all of the support and getting us to the random argument we just had. Because we super appreciate it. We had no idea that it was going to be this popular. We hoped that people would listen.
And yeah, we thought we'd have like a couple thousand listeners, not, you know, 20, 30 times that.
Yeah.
So it's incredible. Thank you all so much. It really means a lot to us. And for those of you who are leaving the comments on Spotify, I said before, I'll say it again, I read them. They are quite funny. If you just, I have to approve all of them. So if you want to say something funny to me, go in there and do it. I have to approve it. And if it's not that funny, I'll probably still approve it. But if it's really not funny, I'll delete it. That's more for you, though, so no one sees your bad joke. With that, though, for those of you who are listeners and want to interact more with us, Discord. We've had a Discord for a while. Thanks to Kevin, who's a new kind of addition to the team, I would say. He's redone the Discord. Savage Doc has come through and really redone our Discord. I will always promote Discord to people because I like the way Discord itself functions. Discord is designed to be a place, a community conversation piece. It's not like a Reddit or a Facebook where people are trying to get upvotes or thumbs up or views. It's just you are what you are
there. We have super cool channels now. It's way more organized because we didn't do it because we were doing a bad job of because we do a bad job of a lot of things.
No, it's because you're in your 50s and I'm in my 40s. What chance did we have of making a Discord?
Absolutely none. Yeah,
it's like I press button. Where's the PDF?
We had a discussion about this and we went, you can do this, this, and this. And I go, I don't know how to do any of those things. And they all scare me. Please don't make me do this.
I'll call it out. So Kevin tried to have me make some changes live on it. We were on a voice chat together and we did a screen share and it consisted of him saying, no, to the left, no, up a little bit. Over the right, that button.
I showed up late, and as soon as they asked me to do anything, I yelled, I need an adult.
Yeah, that's how this is. So I really, Kevin, you've been amazing. Thank you so much. For those of you, though, kind of we're diatribing a little bit. For those of you who are looking for a place to interact with more with us, please come to our Discord, because not only us, but also a lot of the other fans are there, thousands of them. It's an incredible place to interact about lore, hobbying, gameplay,
literature,
video games,
everything,
whatever you're looking for. Because I mean, we get a lot of comments all the time on like our Facebook. We're like, what are the best books to read? I can tell you my opinion, but if you ask that same question in Discord, you can get a lot more depth. Because, for example, you know, maybe you're saying, hey, I want to read more books about the, you know, the world leaders. I can go to Reddit and find a review for you, but I don't know it as well. But you might, but there'll be like a couple hundred people
that are passionate about it too.
Who are like, oh, I've read all of them. This is my favorite one. That's my best one.
And for me personally, which is a big thing, is we have the How to Get into 40K. We have a full channel about that. Mm-hmm. We have the lore, obviously, but we have the people that will help you, including myself.
Yep.
But it's a big deal in that to go in, hey, maybe you came to us from Space Marine 2, which a lot of people have found us from that, and you want to get involved in the game. We also have the model showcase.
Yeah, we have model showcase. We have everything there. So if you, I mean, I am, I said, painting's one thing that I'm glad our Discord's really taken off with, because I'm a B to B plus painter. Brad's learning to paint for the first time.
I'm an F minus painter.
30 years in. But he's also colorblind, so, and has poor motor function. But that's a side
note. Besides that,
it's a great place to get advice. Hey, even things like, basically, I love our Discord. Please come join our Discord. It's awesome. Second note is that usually at this stage, for people listening for a while, we go into a long diatribe about our Patreon and our coaching. They both exist, and I'll talk more about the Patreon in a minute. But
I'm
more
twitching right now just a little bit that I don't get to scream the email out.
Yeah, how's it work for you?
It's so much better.
Yeah. So we've redone our webpage. The Wix page that I made months ago that looked like a bad middle schooler's art project is gone. We now have a proper WordPress page where you can click links into us, interact with us, go to the Discord, go to the Patreon, go to Brad's coaching. Everything's from there. So please check out the new webpage. I'm happy about it. We actually, we also now have merchandise in the webpage. So if you want to get a t-shirt.
40K Lore Cats.
Yeah, it's being made. Don't like it. It's fine for him. That being said, though, those last two pieces, we have a Patreon. If you guys want to help us out, it'd be great. If you don't, it's also fine. The Patreon exists to help us do this cast better. We've been able to upgrade audio equipment, hire editor, audio engineers, editors, these types of things. It allows us to spend more time. The truth is, it allows us to spend more time making the cast and putting effort into it than the postcast production. So thank you Patreon members. It's been incredible. And your contributions have really gone a long way to support us with this. So thank you so much. For those of you, though, who are playing the game and want to get better at it, Brad has coaching services. And if you go to our webpage at the40klorecast.com, link in the show notes.
Or in our Discord.
Yeah, or in our Discord, you can actually look at some of the details of what Brad offers and contact him directly. So.
And I like coaching.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. No, I mean, it should be said, though.
You do like coaching, and now you don't have to randomly yell your email address out there.
Let's talk about the rise of the Ecclesiarch.
Let's go to, So, it's a cast about sisters, but we can't talk about the sisters without talking about where they come from. So, episode 25, we covered the rise of the Ecclesiarchy, and we're going to do a little bit of a recap here, because I'm not making you all go back and listen to that one, but we'll skip some bits of it. That's fine. I know you would. So prior to this 36th millennia, there was this explosion of power in the Ecclesiarchy.
It got pretty huge pretty fast,
though. Well, we can do this one of two ways. You can either listen to us talk, or you can fast forward 10 minutes if you have any knowledge of how the Catholic Church rose in Europe, because up until Martin Luther's 13 Treatises, that's what this was. This is GW ripped this next chunk out of it, but they made it cooler.
Yes, but the biggest thing is that people went, because remember the emperor's whole thing was, I don't want religion. I don't want anything. And then they got put on the golden throne and everybody went, this guy protected us because he's a god. And they went, yeah, that's what's happening.
And it's really important to kind of understand how the Imperium was at this point. So we're talking about post-heresy, the all-powerful leader of the Imperium is gone, along with his right-hand man of Malkador.
Which was actually semi more important, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, because Malkador was your liaison. So what happened was you had all these lords of Terra who existed forever, but they had no real power. But they were nothing but figureheads. And now they went. And I mean, in some ways, I actually feel bad for them, because they went from being figureheads.
I'll fight you right now about that.
Come on. It's true, though. This is that thing of, like, the idiot son at the company. The dad dies. Now he takes over the company. He's a horrible person, and we're glad it fails. But he also brings the whole company down with him.
Yeah. The entire Imperium. And the Lords of Terra have sucked from, Carry the One. Always. Yeah. Every single time.
Yeah.
I'm not even going there. We're just going to do a me talking about how much I don't like the Lords of Terra. You know,
we've promised the Discord we're going to do a cast in Lords of Terra, and we're going to.
It's going to be me raging for a while. By the way, I'm going to be edited out of so much. We're going to do a
I'm actually concerned about this because Brad has unfortunate genetics. He's had two heart attacks and a stroke, right? Or am I missing one?
It's two open hearts.
Two open hearts.
And two ablations.
And this is why
a stroke.
I'm not that excited about doing Lords of Terra.
I've only had one heart attack.
Because the hospital's like there was an ER 5 minutes from my house, but the good hospital is 20 minutes away. And I don't feel like having
it makes to take me you. So the Lords of Terra make me physically angry. You don't understand. Like, it's not me putting on an air. John makes fun of me so much for this.
Because you're holding a Dr. Pepper can and you're crushing it with your right hand while talking about the world, Lords of Terra. I can see it happen. Like the can is like crinkling as he says words, Lords of Terra. So anyway, Brad.
I know they're made up, but I'm very angry about it.
Wow. Like my kid's afraid of lightning because it's a real thing. Like...
Lords of Terra are real for me. Yes, thank you very much. Like,
good God. So even before, to kind of bring us back on topic, even before the Great Crusade, the Emperor was always revered by a god by certain people, like Lorgar.
Well, also, Lorgar did a good job of pushing this out.
But Lorgar really believed it. This is not a new thing. And so the Emperor, with his minions, would stamp it out. Anytime someone... Not even, but most time people would kind of start really worshiping him. He would go and stop it.
He would smoke show it.
Yeah, but then the Emperor is entombed. And then add to this, the Imperial citizens, very realistically, the world was better before the Emperor went in the Golden Throne. So the greatest leader that has ever happened for the Imperium in recorded history is the Emperor. And that's not because they went back through and corrected history.
Objectively, better.
Yeah, we can look at it and say,
And also, the thing is that a lot of terrible shit is happening to them. And what became the ecclesiarchy is pushing out, if you would have more faith
in the emperor, then we can do this. And this begins to explode. We get shrines, full cathedrals, everything that the emperor goes up. To the point where, by the 36th millennia, people are taking pilgrimages to worlds. To touch a world that was viewed as blessed by the emperor.
Well, we really have to talk about this because I think we skipped over just a little bit of this. You don't make a ship that doesn't have a shrine to the emperor.
Yeah.
If you are in a... We're talking to the shipyards. This isn't like a thing that people do as a superstition. No. I order a ship from John's shipbuilding. He builds a shrine.
It has to be a shrine.
Period. Yeah,
minimum in every single ship. But also, and we talked about this in the AdMech when we discussed the machine spirit. When we talk about people doing pilgrimages, people worshiping the emperor, this isn't Wizard of Oz stuff, guys. This is real. Like, the warp is real. I mean,
he's powering up, by the way.
Yeah, but it's that piece of the emperor. There is a very good argument to be made that the power of the emperor is a real thing. And these people worship of him is a real thing.
Well, it's the what's first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
Because is the power of the emperor real, or is the fact that you believe the power of the emperor
makes him real?
You made it real.
But what I'm getting at, though, is that it is perfectly reasonable to assume that the emperor is affecting the lives of citizens on random occasions.
Well, if you're talking about Sisters of Battle, it's not random occasions. Yeah, exactly. It's every time.
And that's what I'm getting. So I always I like to caution, because when we talk about these things, sometimes it comes off as ha-ha, silly peasants with their silly beliefs. This one might be real.
You were making reality. You were orking it up, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. And so this leads to the ecclesiarchy being to grow, gain power and more power, because the citizenry are more aligned with the worship of the emperor than anything else.
But also, the ecclesiarchy came from no zero to hero with a quickness.
That's
in the first 2,000 years, all of a sudden they became something that the Imperium didn't work without them, because if you didn't get the approval of the ecclesiarchy, shit didn't happen.
Yeah. Period. What I want to spend some time on is like the ecclesiarchy's power is how exceptional it gets. And this is going to matter for someone we're going to talk about shortly. The ecclesiarchy becomes almost a mini government. They get a lord, they get a seat as the Lord of Terra, which is fine. But more importantly, they begin to actually operate as an independent wing of the Imperium. And this was not what they were supposed to be doing.
Well, they also become judgment. They start to be judge and jury
because
in a religious sense.
Because what they get is they start installing their own regional governors who are supposed to be overlooking the citizens. These regional governors have power. They have their own, they develop their own military called the Fraternus Templar, who actually they have ships, they have soldiers. The irony is actually the Imperium broke up the Imperial Army into the Imperial Navy and the Astra Militarum. The Fraternus Templar are both. They are a navy and a guard all at once. The issue with this, though, is as this grows, costs begin to grow. And so the ecclesiarchy begins to actually place imperial tithes on planets in addition to the regular imperial tithe that was coming through. So planets, the thing about imperial tithes is it's not 1%. It's basically it's 50%.
It's all of the percent.
It's 50%. And now I've got two people asking me for 50% of my output. I can't do it. So this becomes the 36 millennia starts to the first conflict between the two groups. Because the challenge is that effectively,
there's conflicts before, but this becomes
the biggest schism. Yeah, because as a planetary governor, my options are I pay the imperial tithe, and then the ecclesiarchy sends the Fraternus Templar to come beat me up and take my money. Or I pay the ecclesiarchy tithe, and the Imperium sends the guard to come beat me up and take my money.
So, and or worse, the Marines who go collateral damage. I've never Googled that. I have no idea what you mean.
Yeah, and what's funny about that is that these two groups, I'm getting in trouble for this, but I grew up in Philadelphia with Italians to deal with it. So protection rackets. The thing about a protection racket is you also protect with a protection racket. You pay the protection racket to keep away the other guys trying to run a protection racket. These guys didn't do that. They would just take your money and leave. So you'd pay the ecclesiarchy. They'd take your money and go. And then the imperial government would show up and say, where's my money? And the ecclesiarchy are just like, yep, you're on your own. Good luck. Bye. Like deuces. So this begins to kind of create a fracture between the two. This is made worse by the 35th millennia. In the 35th millennia, warp storms begin to kind of eat apart the galaxy. Not like these aren't the intense ones of the Age of Strife, of Horus Heresy.
But we'll eventually do a cast about this because these are actually manufactured.
I know. We'll dive into the origins later.
This isn't a, oh no, we had some bad weather. This is a, hey man, somebody made this happen.
Someone did this. There's a lot of reasons for it. But the Imperium doesn't know this. All of a sudden, warp travel throughout the entire Imperium starts to get kind of shattered. And what that does is one thing that we didn't do a good enough job talking about before with black ships is that when black ships don't arrive on a planet.
Well, shit does go down.
Yeah, the psychers on that planet get real powerful, quick.
A lot of force lightning and yelling, unlimited power happens.
So we start seeing entire planets falling to like either psychic warlords or full-blown demon incursions.
Or people doing full-on Salem witchcraft, which is, I saw you doing a card trick and they shot them in the face.
Which actually, by the way, that's the correct move.
You're like the correct move. That guy was way too clever.
Well, in the 35th millennia, if it's like, if you have no black ships, you have no protection, you think it's a psyker, kill the psyker.
Yeah.
That guy said,
choose any card. I shot him.
Yeah. And so what you end up happening also at the same time, chaos, because the real reason for the warp storms, chaos starts popping out of the warp.
Oh, and
demons popping out of the warp.
Well, and they also came for a specific reason, but we'll go that later. This is a full cast.
Yeah, the Grey Knights get involved and they're wiping out planets. This is like the 35th millennia. The galaxy's burning. It's better than the 40th millennia, but it is burning. Oh, I forgot to mention, also orcs start appearing all over the place.
Well, they also come in the weirdest places ever because they
ride a space Hulk just for like it's party town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They surf into planets for no reason.
This is where we start seeing the Drukhari raids explode because they realize this
That's a big thing. Let's talk about this real quick on this because Drukhari always test the water and they go, did you do anything about this? Yes. Okay, cool. Did you do anything about this? Okay, cool.
You can't hear Brad tapping the table.
Yeah. Yeah, you might. That was one of my worst.
I need to say this. Brad, when he's saying that, let's test the water, he's taking his finger and touching the table as I'm touching and testing the water.
It makes a lot of sense to John, who can see me, and to everyone else, it makes absolutely no sense. You know what? I want to ride with that. However, they test the water 2-3 times, and all of a sudden, there's no response.
And then they just
come in full force.
And they'll take
a world, though.
They're taking entire planets.
Yeah. They'll go, you didn't respond? You didn't respond? Okay, cool. We're sending a full raider force, and you now no longer have a population.
And the reason we're diving into this, because that's not all. We also, enslavers reappear at this point, really briefly.
Oh, I forgot that. This is so crazy,
too. Yeah. And other random Xenos who we don't really cover in the lore pop up. This is the 35th millennia is one of the worst times to be part of the Imperium.
Oh, it's a shit show. Yeah.
And so what this does, though, what makes this bad is this makes worship of the Emperor go two ways. Some worlds lean more heavily into him, saying, you know, we worship him more, but other worlds go, the Emperor has abandoned us. And the Ecclesiarchy don't take that second one very well and launch what is effectively the Spanish Inquisition on the galaxy. They use the Fraternus Templar and then
they just start murdering anybody that doesn't. It's not even that you have an opposing opinion. If you aren't just super excited about the Emperor, you get killed.
When the difference, though, is that when the Ecclesiarchy does this, we talked before about like Ordo Hereticus, actually, there's no Ordo Hereticus, Ordo Malleus, which is the Grey Knights. Chaos. They would wipe out a planet and they would make a backstory about what happened. Oh, there was an industrial accident. When the Fraternus Templar do it, it's public knowledge that this world is full of heretics.
They televise it, basically. Yeah.
So the entire Imperium is also now really starting to struggle with the Ecclesia.
They do prime time. Mm-hmm. We're killing everybody on planet B because they're heretics. Mm-hmm. And you can watch it live.
And you can imagine what this is doing to the overall viewpoint of the Ecclesiarchy. And this leads to us getting into Goge Van Deer, who I'm just going to call Goge going forward because it's easier for me to say it that way.
He's also such a huge douche.
Oh, it's incredible. But this is where the sisters come from. So Goge Van Deer was never actually, he becomes part of the Ecclesiarchy, but he was the head of the administratum. Prior to his ascension.
So much. Except the fact that he sucks and then we can move on.
Yeah. Yes.
From day one.
Yeah, he was horrid. But so one little bit of backstory we should talk about is as the Ecclesiarchy is waging all these wars internally, the reason the Ecclesiarchy is burning worlds with the Fraternus Templar is because the Ecclesiarchy is run by morons at this point. The Adeptus Administratum had a problem. And the problem they had was the Ecclesiarchy was too powerful. And they knew, just like we talked about in the prior cast with the Inquisition and the AdMech, they couldn't engage them directly because the people might turn on them. So what they instead began to do was affect the candidacies of leaders within the Ecclesiarchy.
They put morons in charge.
Yeah. Well, they put them in charge, but the Adeptus Administratum didn't have control of who was in charge. They would just back the moron and hope the moron would get power.
They would back the moron, but they would also back the moron with a bunch of riders and say, we'll back you, but you have to do these 8 things.
Yes, exactly. And so, but Goge saw something different. Goge was the head of the administratum and saw the incredible raw power of the Ecclesiarchy, and he wanted it for himself. So what he did was, first off, he helped install like the least likable person ever in charge of the Ecclesiarchy. He was waging televised campaigns of torture and murder of imperial citizens. At the same time, while this man's in charge, Goji's using assassins to pick off other leaders of the Administratum to keep himself in power. And
other members of the Ecclesiarchy, they could actually challenge him.
Exactly. And built this entire, he basically built a house of cards around the Ecclesiarchy.
He sucked, but this dude's doing a Kaiser Soze.
Oh, yeah.
Or House of Cards. He's doing it.
Yeah. Basically, same actor. Way to go, Brad.
You're welcome. My favorite movie and one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
Whatever.
These things happen. So Goj, behind the scenes, then begins to work it. He keeps blaming the Ecclesiarchy for all the issues, all the anarchy, all the challenges, until he realizes that the mass of the Imperium is turning against the Ecclesiarchy. And then he makes his move. He gets some Imperial Guards in with him. He attacks the headquarters.
Well, he does of
the
Ecclesiarchy. Full coup.
Yeah, and he actually does. He executes the head of the Ecclesiarchy on TV.
But he also does all of them.
Yeah.
He kills, like, everybody from top down, to bottom.
Yeah. Saying that they're all heretics. And what he did was, what's clever about this is he's used the actions that he'd influenced them into taking of all this violence and evilness against the populace to prove, obviously, they're heretics. Only a heretic against the emperor would be this evil. And what this does is flips everybody to him. And so he's then able to take, so he has control of the Administratum and the Ecclesiarchy. He also then actually is able to grab the Telepathica,
which is a huge deal. Yeah.
He ends up, because he only doesn't control the Admech or the Space Marines or in the Inquisition. So he's not quite emperor level power, but it was close to. He has absolute power in the Imperium. Now, the thing about Goj is, like every other power hungry ruler, he had no actual solutions. He wasn't sitting there saying, oh, this is run poorly. If I can just get rid of these people, I can then, come in and I'm going to save the Imperium.
I feel like I mentioned this before. Goj is a huge douche. He sucks. He had a plan to take power, and that's where his plan stopped.
Yeah. So he ends up actually doing a much worse job than the prior guy, using Fraterris Templar even more violently.
Well, because he's terrified that he's going to lose his power. So anybody that puts any risk of his power, he smokes.
Yeah.
He's terrifying in this.
What I actually don't know is if he had control of the assassins. I assume he did, but I also he wouldn't have lost if he did. So I'm kind of
torn. I'm back and forth on that because of the fact that he had so many high level people killed. He did a Godfather on this.
He did.
So many heads of different things just died in.
Yeah, I just struggled to believe that he had control of them, because it's just going to be poor writing the part of GW in all candor. But truthfully, if he had control of the assassins and the Imperial Guard, and the sisters weren't really that fleshed out at this point, but he'd be effectively.
He only loses power. Well, we'll go into it. He only loses power because of that.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. All right, let's dive into it.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
It's time to accept it. The holidays are upon us, and finding gifts for people is never easy or really fun. Luckily, we at the 40K Lorecast have a new sponsor, which will help you make your holiday shopping fast and easy. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Add some personalization to your holiday shopping with Uncommon Goods. Did I go there and buy the game Fart Bingo? Yeah, I did. Is it for my child to play with his friends? We'll go with, yeah. At the same time, I was able to get a cocktail smoker. So yeah, those are probably all for me. Anyway, that's what's great about Uncommon Goods. They have uncommon, get it, collection of items you can choose from, allowing you to pick up a fun variety of items this holiday season. You'll find thousands of gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. So, shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/40klore. 40KLORE. That's uncommongoods.com/40KLORE for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. So the birth of Sisters of Battle. If you play Sisters and you like Sisters, I'm really sorry about how much I'm going to shit on them in this episode.
Oh, screw you then. This is awesome, though.
No, these are tropes. That's why I don't like. So I love Sisters of Battle. I love all the pieces about Sisters of Battle. There's just certain elements in their lore that drive me insane. And so the GW took their own interpretation of the Amazons. And I've always found this story to be stupid anyway, but let's go with it. So there's a secret island of giant warriors, of giant warrior women that are somehow the greatest warriors in the galaxy. In this case, instead of an island, it's a planet. There are so many holes in this story. So the world is an angry world named San Lior, because it's Saint Lior. Why not? That's what it means. On this planet, so remember, agri worlds have one of the lowest populations in the Imperium.
Not this one.
Yeah. Well, this one do. They all do. That's the whole problem. They all have low populations.
I'm just saying.
There is a cult of warrior women. This is all we have, who are extremely devout to the Emperor. Who were they fighting? Never stated. Did they fight off some Xenos, pirates, or are they doing karate in the garage? we get nothing. All we know is that these women call themselves the daughters of the Emperor, and they have nothing but love for the Emperor.
And you know what? You sisters players, I'm going to jump on this and go, the sisters were powered by the holy light of the Emperor, and they actually drew upon
them. Why are they morons and fell for a magic trick?
I'm just saying, they were all deceived. Right.
Let's go in. So Goge declares randomly that he's going to pay a special visit to the daughters of the Emperor. Doesn't tell them he's coming, by the way. He just shows up with a full fleet and marches right into the inner sanctum of their capital. Once they arrive at the inner sanctum, they're turned away because no man may enter the sanctum. They detest this gender crap. Anyway, so, Brett has gathered his chi. I'm just getting angry as I do this. Goge tells them, let me in because I am an emissary of the Emperor himself. And if you have to admit me. But if I'm lying to you, you're free to kill me. So they go, all right. And they march him all the way in. And then he does a magic trick. Not even a good one. He tells them he will prove his
this is so lame because he takes his he basically just activates his Rosarius, which is a force shield.
He holds a Rosarius out, which is basically a...
There's no way that they've never seen a force shield.
But they have. To be fair, it says in the novels, I get more mad about the later part. So he holds up a Rosarius and tells an Imperial guardsman to shoot him in the chest. And the guardsman shoots. And of course, the Laz is deflected because the Rosarius, when it does it, flashes a big beam of light.
It's and a deflects force a shield.
It's a force shield. And I'm just going to get mad for numerous occasions here. First off, why didn't one of the daughters shoot him with a bolter? Two, it's just a dumb concept. Three, and this is the more important one to me. Fine. At this time, these warrior women who've been doing karate in the garage don't know what a Rosarius is. Fast forward.
I'm not skipping this at all. I want you to know that in our notes, this particular part of the cast is just titled John Rant.
Because I'm ranting. So fine, they fall for the Rosarius trick. Neat. Then they get later, I'm fast forwarding a little bit, later they end up back on Terra getting outfitted by the Admech, and no one went, oh, the Rosarius has a force field in it? So what he did was this. Like, no one ever puts two and two together.
That this was a bad party trick?
Yeah, yes. They just, like, you literally got fooled by a stupid, like, they saw that, like, no one asked the question. Anyway.
He basically put on a bulletproof vest and had somebody shoot him and went, I'm invulnerable.
Yeah, look at me. Aren't I incredible? I do like the sisters. I just hate some elements of their story. So anyway, they immediately declare absolute fealty to Goge because he is now, by the way, is it Goge or Gaji?
Don't care.
I'm going with Goge because Goge or Gaji, and it could be Gaji, but I'm going with Goge.
I actually like Goge because it's easier to say than what it actually is.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that. Just keep saying
the
Goge.
I don't listen to the audiobooks Brad does. I have too much ADHD.
Just keep going with Goge because it's so much easier.
I have too much ADHD to actually listen to audiobooks. I've tried. I have to re-listen to them over and over again. Anyway, so Goge takes all the daughters of the Emperor, as many as he can, back with him to Terra. And then once there, he sets up their own headquarters where they get all the best weaponry and equipment in the Imperium.
And they do start beating the shit out of people.
Yeah, but
like, instantly.
I'm sorry. We haven't concluded the John Rant period.
Oh, my bad.
It's coming back now. First off, they give them bolters, the same weapon the Space Marines carry.
Yep.
The 7 foot tall, 800 pound
power armored Space Marines.
Yes. Oh, no, we'll get to the power armor in a second. And all they say in the lore is they have a smaller version of a bolter.
Same stats.
Yeah, exactly. Exact same stats. Nothing's different. And by the way, that same stats in 10th edition have been the same stats in every edition of the game as a Space Marine bolter. No difference.
30 years now.
Yeah, no difference. And they can hold the same weapon the Space Marine can hold.
I mean, it should actually break their arms.
Yeah, and they can shoot it as well as a Space Marine at the same distance of a Space Marine.
Same ballistics.
With the same accuracy of a Space Marine.
Same damage, same
ballistics. But it's okay. They also get a light version of power armor.
No carapace.
No black carapace whatsoever.
Probably affects just, they should shake up poison at this point in time.
Yeah, but again, so this actually, it's funny. We made the cast, and when we were doing the cast on the Space Marine, I was teasing Brad that the organs don't work. I actually think they don't now. So they basically gave the same thing to the sisters, and their sisters are like, oh yeah, I can just totally use this power armor and this bolter. We look, hey, don't tell anyone, but if anyone asks, you've got a smaller version of it. And the sisters are like, okay.
Sure.
Yeah, sure, but it deflects. Same armor save? Yeah.
Same armor save, same everything?
Same movement?
Yeah.
Sisters have the same movement. Like, everything's identical.
Yeah, they're Space Marines. Fast, everything else.
Yeah. I mean, like, the Thunder Warrior armor was only on part of the Thunder Warrior's bodies. The sisters, nope. Although they don't have helmets, do they?
I mean.
Some of them do.
You can't check out their cool Space Wolf style.
That's true, yeah.
Can't check out their sweet tattoos and cool haircuts.
It's the sisters, and just someone will call me out. The custodes also have power armor without the black carapace. The sisters are not genetically modified.
They just believe in the Emperor.
They just believe in the Emperor, and that lets them power their power armor. I'm just saying, seems like this is an easier way to build an army. Okay, John Rant over for now.
I'm going to turn the page now.
There's more coming. So Goj converts the daughters to his personal bodyguard. They were, and this is important, because they're insanely devout followers of the Emperor, and they believe Goj was
the herald of the Emperor.
Exactly. And
100%. Also, the sisters start beating the shit out of every one of Goj's personal
perceived enemies.
No, well, that's the thing. This is why eventually their realization becomes such a big betrayal of Goj to them. Because Goj sends them on personal vendetta missions.
Yeah.
For most of all of their missions, basically.
And they wipe stuff.
Exactly. They're saying, they wreck. But they wreck populaces. They just decimate his enemies.
Yeah. And what's happening is that Goj is also still using the Fraterra's Templar. So the sisters aren't that populous at this point. So to Brad's point, what he's doing is he sends the Fraterra's Templar, which there was actually a large group. He sends them to wage wars. But if anyone tries to come back and do anything about it, he sends the sisters or the daughters at this stage.
Daughters of the Emperor.
It's not ideal for a lot of the people who dislike him.
I need to really seal this one. The Daughters of the Emperor 100% think they are doing righteous work. The word of the Emperor is what they are doing right now. So they're so focused on that. They think they're doing basically the good works. You know what I mean? So I'm alluding to what's going to happen, obviously, but the sisters, the daughters of the Emperor are 100%. We are in the right. We are doing Emperor's will.
I think I'm going to say it this way. The daughters of the Emperor are not loyal to Goj. They are loyal to the Emperor, and they believe that Goj is a piece, basically, of the Emperor. Therefore, they will do anything for Goj.
He's the herald of the Emperor. He's the voice of the Emperor.
Foreshadowing, so long as that stays the case.
Correct, which is a big thing because they are doing a bunch of shit that they think is morally terrible.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's for the Emperor.
It's for the Emperor. So, and we are the most, not loyal, we are the most loyal.
Exactly.
Period.
So, on the other side of the galaxy, and not just there, but all around the galaxy, there begins to be a small resistance movement. But on the other side of the galaxy, there is a man named Sebastian Thor.
That's his stage name.
Yeah. So Thor proselytizes for the Confederation of Light. That's what he firmly believes in. And they claim that the Confederation Life basically claims that the sacrifice that the emperor made entombing himself in the Golden Throne is an example everyone should live for. It's the life of sacrifice and poverty.
Well, he said that
these are the Franciscan
he
monks.
He gave up his life for humanity. Yeah.
Well, I also want to point out, because again, I like talking about some of the stuff randomly. This is what St. Francis, it is a St. Francis and the Franciscan monks. Yeah, of Assisi. So Goge, mean to say, was not a fan of Thor.
Not a fan. Understatement of the millennia.
And he sends the Fraternus Templar, like a fleet of them, to go kill him. And this is the first time he does this. A warp storm actually eats
the fleet, yeah, the whole thing.
Which is later referred to as a storm of the emperor's wrath, because it was viewed later in history as being evidence that the emperor was against Goge and for Thor. This, by the way, continues. Goge keeps sending assassins after Thor. And it's hilarious, because every single time they either mysteriously die or they end up becoming supporters. And they're like, oh, this is awesome. So this continues to grow and grow, and the Confederation of Light starts to conquer effectively the galaxy against Goge. And Goge becomes more and more stuck back on the planet. Eventually, the Admech make a comment, effectively, stating that we don't support Goge, we support the Fraternus Templar. And Goge freaks out, obviously, but does a funny thing. He actually declares the Admech and the Adeptus Astartes as both heretics and enemies of the Imperium, to which the Space Marines went, yo, man, what the F? Like, they hadn't said anything.
Well, they didn't even know, because, again, the Space Marines are great about a ton of stuff. They are wildly bad about knowing what's actually going on.
Well, Space Marines have no interest in Terra. They've never had interest in Terra.
When you say Terra, we're not talking about the planet. We're talking about...
Yeah, the Space Marines, they're so focused on weight because
they're focused on war.
To be fair, yeah, the Space Marines are constantly like, hey, the Emperor's children are invading planet 178 in this sector. And they're going, all right, we're on our way so we don't lose 178. That's right. What their brain goes
That's
to.
That's what they do. Yeah,
they don't care who's in charge.
Yeah. Exactly. They're not worried about who's freaking taking out the trash on the 15th sector. Who's delivering milk here? They're like, yeah, man, figure it out, dude. That's not what I do.
How many bolt rounds do we have? How many bolters do we have?
Like, exactly.
All of our crap here? Yeah. All right, then whatever. Move on with your day.
So they don't care who's in charge.
And the Space Marines effectively just go, all right, I guess we have to deal with this now. And they send a strike force made of Imperial Fists, Black Templars. I know what they are. Firehawks and Soul Drinkers. I don't know what they are.
You don't know how Firehawks and Soul Drinkers, I just put those together, are both super cool.
Okay. Anyway, they go down there to actually oust Goge along with the support of the Admech. It appears that they did this with no research into what they were going into, and they just decided to attack the Imperium. So they do what they always, obviously the Space Marines and the Admech are famous for not planning their attacks.
I mean, yes.
It's like the number one thing the Space Marines do. The YOLO, number one thing they do.
YOLO swaggins.
They never do that. Even the Space Wolves, I mean, their plan might be weird, but it's a plan. The Space Marines were just like, yeah, we'll just go down there.
Just figure it out.
And we'll figure it out. So they do their normal attack. They bombard the capital from space, and they fire a bunch of drop pods into it. The drop pods land, and the Daughters of Emperor come out with their bolters and power armor.
And sisters with special weaponry.
Yeah, and special melted guns, las cannons, and just start wrecking the Space Marines. I know, again, that this was done to make the sisters look really good from a lore standpoint, but it just doesn't make sense that Space Marines are landing in a lightning drop pod assault, and their sisters are just like, yeah, I got this. Don't worry about it. You know, this is what Space Marines do. The Ultramarines, sorry, guys, to bitch this much, but I have to keep doing it. Like, the Space Marines are supposed to be some of the most tactically gifted.
And versatile.
And versatile.
They adapt on the whole thing about Space Marines. And I'll give you this. I'm not even going to bitch as much as you are on this one. But Space Marines' whole thing is that they adapt to any combat environment immediately.
They get pinned down for, is it a month?
It's how about this? Too long.
Yeah, months. They spend months pinned down outside the Imperial Palace by the sisters. So
I love the fact John's getting as mad as I get usually. I love
this, it. It's so infuriating because the Space Marines have organs and power armor and all the things that allow them to fight for the days on end. They've got weaponry, technology. They also have the ADMEC in orbit shooting down. And their sisters just went, yeah, we're good.
The rest of the story is cool. You hate it. I love it.
Okay, so the rest of the story is cool, but you can write it in a funny way, which is what I went with.
I know.
So I viewed this as all of this war is going on. Between this month-long conflict is happening outside of the Imperial Palace between the sisters, probably some guardsmen as well, and the Space Marines. And eventually it gets loud enough that one custode says, hey, what's going on at the neighbor's house? And pops their head out the window. And the centurion who's named this is Longinus, which that name sounded familiar when I wrote it down, so I had to go look it up.
He's the dude that literally used the Spear of Destiny to stab Jesus.
Yes, the guy. So yeah, the GW and I have no idea why, decided this custode is going to have the same name as the Roman centurion who stabbed Jesus. Whatever.
Rest of the story is super cool, though.
The story's awesome. The story's funny, but I just like basically,
I know.
The custodes pop out and the Space Marines just radio in like, hey, here's what's going on. And Longinus effectively goes, ugh, fine. Grabs a bunch of custodes, teleports into the Imperial Palace and just walks up to the head of the daughters, the emperor. And when I say walks up, the daughters were shooting at them, and the custodes were just like,
just don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
They're like, look, man, they wrote you to be super tough, but I'm a custode.
Yeah, I'm a custode. Yeah, like, no. Like,
just no. We're not going that far.
Yeah, just walking up there, they're being yelled at, and he just like, and he basically says, shut up. Come with me. I'll take you to the emperor. And the daughters immediately get super cool at this offer.
They shut everything down.
Okay.
And the leader of the sisters goes, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. That would be awesome.
Hey, would you like to talk to God today?
And for some reason, she went, yeah, I'm into this.
I just cleared my schedule. I'm going to go ahead and talk to God.
Yeah. It is written in the lore that there is no record of what was said. So when we say, we don't know, is that this is an intentional thing by GW. No one knows what was said.
She communes in front of the Golden Throne with the Emperor. And apparently whatever was said was not pro-goge.
Yeah, it was not you're following the right guy. And I love this. The custodes just teleport back to like the Imperial Palace, look at the sisters and say, good luck and leave.
She gets beyond pissed.
Yeah.
Basically goes, oh, all that shit that I didn't want to do in the first place was because I'm following a tyrannical ruler. Well, we're going to take care of that.
Worse than I'm following a heretic.
Yeah.
She had been following and doing the work.
And she gets
the heretic
place at the table. That is a wild 80s movie reference.
Yeah.
And just goes, ain't going out like that.
And so she goes and she singled. So her and her retune walk in. Retinue. Someone corrected me on Spotify. I was pronouncing that one wrong. And I still am going with retune. But anyway.
Retinue?
Is it retinue?
It's retinue.
Not retune. Things happen. 43 years old and you learn a new thing. So with her retinue.
I still won't do Conrad Cruz. So. Yeah,
my bad. Her and her retinue walk in and she just starts yelling at Goge, who realizes what's about to happen, and says, I don't have time to die. I'm too busy.
Well, he apparently found time in his schedule
because she cuts his head off. Goge is very dead.
And by the way, I think he got off lucky because I think that they were going to do worse shit to him.
If they knew what a penitent engine was.
He would have been in one immediately. Yeah. They were beyond pissed.
Mm-hmm. So obviously without Goge there, Sebastian Thor takes control of the Ecclesiarchy, gets the Terra, and he reforms the church again.
He's actually legit.
I keep calling him Sebastian Thor. It's Martin Luther. But anyway, that's who he is. It's Martin Luther.
He was wildly more successful than Martin Luther was too.
Yeah, I mean, and just nail 13 treatises to a church if he took it over, but that's what Luther wanted to do. So Luther comes through and he reforms the church to make it what, in his mind, it should be. That it shouldn't be a figure of government. It should just be an ecclesiarchy. So he limits the power to keep it focused on worship. But he does this like really dumb thing.
Let me say this one because you're...
You know how much I hate it?
You hate it so much. He declares that the ecclesiarchy is banned from having a men under arms. Basically, there can't be a male fighting force.
No. That's what I'm
saying. No, he calls them men of arms.
I know, but I hate this so much because they say it out like he says men of arms, but ha-ha, we found a loophole. There's women. He was looking at the daughters of the emperor when he said this.
I know.
He could have just as easily said the ecclesiarchy will have no military except for those people and point at the daughters of emperor. Is that he had to make it an intentional loophole? Why?
And then they immediately became the all-female force.
It's just like, just why? But anyway.
I love the fact that you hate that so much.
I hate it so much because it's not well-written. That's what about it. It's like the story would have worked just as well for him to say the truth, which is it should have been, you know, the ecclesiarchy is going to have its own military, but its military is going to be made up of the most loyal members to the emperor that have ever lived. Because that's what it really is. The sisters, what makes sisters awesome is that they have unending love and devotion to the emperor and his power, as opposed to the Fraternus Templar, who were just a bunch of soldiers.
They also have absolute rage against all opponents of the emperor.
But anyway, let's dive into
all acts are okay.
Let's give them some credit. So the Reformation now has to happen. And the sisters, first off, get renamed the Adeptus Sororitas.
Which, pause on that, because I think that we're not doing it justice in all of these. Anytime you are made an Adeptus, it means you're now...
Big deal.
Yeah. You are now official. This is a real, you are an arm of the Imperium. It's not that this is this is not a sticker. Good job. This is, you are legit. You are forever now. You're Adeptus. It means, again, you are a part, you an arm of the Imperium, the arm of the Empire.
Where I get annoyed here. I'm going to get annoyed again. Sorry, Sisters fans. So they're a military arm of the Ecclesiarchy, which means that they should be wage holy wars against the enemies of the Imperium. So like, you know, like the Grey Knights would be fighting the Warp Agents of Chaos. So the sisters also fight Xenos, rebels, pirates, really anything. They actually don't have, like, Grey Knights have a direct purpose. The Grey Knights should never be fighting against, like, even Drukhari, because they're not, you know, heretical.
I mean, to be fair, the sisters start shit with everybody.
That's my point. The sisters are just like, they're just another one. They end up effectively kind of where they were with Gojo, just without the evil is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
So
they're unchained wrath. They just kind of go punch shit.
So with that in mind, they have to blow up quite a bit because they went from a bodyguard to an actual military. So they have to get a lot more of them. So first off, Alicia Domenica, who's the one who cut Goja's head off, she becomes the head of the sisters.
She's also awesome.
And she is awesome. And I really do. The thing I like about her is that in the stories, she really is actively trying to atone for the past mistakes and make sure they can never happen again.
She's a true believer.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, she met the emperor.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it helps. Like,
but but she was a true believer before.
Like, I'm openly an atheist. Then, if I met God, I would change my mind.
Yeah. She's like, hey, I was pretty sure that this was the correct thing to do. And then I had a lunch date with God.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Fair enough. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm pretty big on.
Yeah. He seems real. So let's do this. Yeah, exactly. So the first thing she does is create something that's called the Convocation of Nephilim, which is, it just bound the sisters to be part of the Ordo Hereticus. They were now the official military might of the Inquisition, and they were going to fight heresy. And this is different, and this is important because now they're hunting down the Gojas of the Imperium. But that being said, they're also working with the Inquisition, who kind of are the Gojas of the Imperium sometimes.
And they're willing to smoke that at a moment's notice.
But I think this is funny because I think the sisters went from, we're never going to work under a Goj again, so we're going to align ourselves with the Inquisition.
The Gojas.
Yeah. So like,
but also,
they're not as bad as a Goj.
Yes. Yeah, so, but also the sisters, and in tons of stories, as soon as they find out.
Oh, they turn. Yeah. Yeah. They have no loyalty to
180 degrees. Yeah. Like, instantly. Sisters, Boom.
You're right. We should give the fans of Sisters the credit here that they are due. The Sisters, if they think you're a heretic, will take no orders from you. I don't care how long I've been listening to you. It ends instantly.
Yep. Yeah. Like they get one email that says that you're a heretic and they go, oh, it looks like you're dead now.
Yeah.
Like,
looks like my flamer still works.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, looks like you're in a room. Yeah. Nowhere to go.
Click, click, burn. The next thing that they had to do, though, obviously, was grow the order. And the Sisters need bodies. Luckily, there is a program well established that collects orphans from around the Imperium. Schola Progenium, the assassin episode, we went into these a little bit. So if you want to know more about it, go listen to those.
Go listen to that, but it's dark as shit.
I will reference it a lot. I don't like talking about it because it's just a horrible thing. So effectively, every female orphan in the entire Imperium is at one point tested to see if they could be part of the Sisters of Battle. If they can pass, then that's where they go. And I mean, it's a pretty good gig, if I'm being honest, because
they do start breaking up the orders this time.
Yeah, but I just want to dive one more time into how the hell do these people carry
no power black carapace. Armor
and bolters without a black carapace? Like, because it made some sense to me. I can't get over this, and I apologize, guys, but earlier it made some sense to me because, like, you know, we had stories like Typhus and Abaddon were very large, even Luther to a point. They were very large.
Ooh, bringing up Luther too.
So it was like, okay, well, maybe all the Sisters from this Agri world had some special genetics, and that's what allowed them to do all these incredible things.
But then it doesn't matter because they start collecting females from everywhere.
Yes, and it's just as effective. So apparently, I'm actually trying to think, are Space Marines not even real?
do we kill about 65% of them for absolutely no reason?
I just can't figure it out. Where it's like, is it just they're all just regular men, but their power armor they put lifts in? What's going on here, guys?
I need to get the power armor.
But then the last thing that they do, though, is they break the order up into factions. And I really do like this.
Orders.
Yeah, into orders. Well, I would call them factions. They become known as orders. I like this a lot. And it's because this is where, to me, the Sisters become a really interesting faction. They don't just become a military faction. They serve other purposes within the Imperium. And we're going to dive into them in a minute. First, the first one they break off, which we're not even going to talk about here, is Ordos Militant, because that's next week, which is all the military element of it. So obviously, Sisters of Battle are there. The next ones, though, are more important because the Sisters, what I guess we probably should have mentioned at some point, but so we'll do it now. The Sisters are beloved throughout the Imperium. They may be one of the most positive, outside of like, hey, I'm in danger, thank God the Space Marines are here. The Sisters' presence is a warming and positive presence.
They're beacons of faith and they are easily identifiable, but I think the populace.
But they do good. They do good acts. Well, it's not just like a priest.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're also very easy to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
But they're relatable. They're not 9 foot tall monsters.
Actually, fun question on that. In the Discord, let me know. Do they all have white hair?
No.
Okay. At least all the models I've ever seen have white
hair. A ton of mad black hair.
Okay, cool. Anyway.
But they're. Well, I won't go into that because there's a clone thing and
I figured. Okay. So let's spend some time on some of the non-combat orders. The first one is the Hospitallier, which is just
awesome, actually. Yeah.
But you can guess what it is. So these are the nuns. It's stolen from like nun when Brad was younger, when you would go to the hospital. There are nuns at the hospital.
And one of the biggest things is that they actually have holy powers, but they also have a ton of tech with them.
Yeah.
They're actual
doctors. They're actual medics and doctors. Well,
they're medical doctors from the year 40,000. Yeah. So they're doing stuff where, hey, man, I'm about to die. You're like, nah, that's a flesh wound. Tick. And just
save. I'm just laughing on our last cast. We were doing AdMech. Like, you don't want the AdMech doctor.
No.
Exactly. Not good.
This looks like a definitely fatal. I have a hangnail. Definitely fatal. Definitely
fatal. We're going to remove your whole arm.
Yeah.
So they would. So these, the Ordos Hospitallier would actually. It might be Hospitaller. I don't remember. I keep saying Hospitallier because I'm going to French instinctively. But anyway, they would actually serve as medics and doctors who were even attached to Astra Militarum. So as an Astra Militarum soldier is recovering, you'd actually be tended to by a Sister of Battle, which is super cool. The next one is equally important is Ordos Familius, which are the teachers and educators of the Imperium. Now, that sounds better than it is, because the Imperium doesn't actually educate people. It just educates nobles.
They were preachers, though. This is where the preachers come from, mm-hmm. especially if you're talking about the game. The preacher model and yeah. stuff comes from this sect, you know what I mean? Which are people that are trying to push the love, the worship of the emperor. And they are so devout. And we'll again get into yeah. this more in the next cast. They get superpowers from this.
No, but so the Ordos Familios, I also do laugh at a little bit, because what their main role is to serve as educators, but also advisors to planetary governors. And I view this, you can look at this one of two ways. Yes, they're very intelligent. They can help you. Or there's a sister of battle in power armor holding a bolter
to your face
right there, like right over your shoulder while you're making decisions for the Imperium. Yeah.
Feel free to make something I think is heretical.
Yeah, I feel like the term advisors needs some pretty heavy also, air quotes there. By the way,
heretical actions, real big leeway.
Exactly. So just that piece of like you're making, you know, you're having your board meeting in your hive world. And there's a sister of battle holding a bolter in the corner, just like, I'm here for advice, guys. Does anyone need any advice?
You're like, anyone have I'm going to do this. And you kind of look over and go,
I think we should worship the emperor. But I was thinking about having salad for lunch. And she kind of like doesn't, she takes her finger off the trigger. Like, yes, we're having salad for lunch. Salad it is, guys. The next group is Order Dialogus. This one's actually, to me, the most interesting of them all.
They're also super cool.
But
on the board. Sorry. Dialogus are super cool.
Right. But I honestly, the board could care less. The lore is awesome. So one of the problems, if you think about it, and this is why I like when the GW writes things that makes really good logistics sense. The Imperium is going to consistently interact with Xenos, both the living beings and the technology. And the problem is that the Xenos language is viewed as heretical, because it can be. You don't know, again, defending them here. You don't know if what you're about to read is
a spell.
Exactly.
Did you just read a summoning spell?
So who can you trust with the knowledge to be able to read and understand those languages? Well, you're going to give it to the most faithful members of the entire Imperium, which is the Sisters. So the Ordos Dialogus are masters of Xeno language, culture, technology. And so they're able to actually, if they need, they can translate any of the Xeno languages that they know into High Gothic, both verbally and in written form. That's so cool to me. That's so cool to be like, okay, we have, again, good for you, GW, and writing this, because you would need this. How could we function with all these Xenos out there? Given you're usually just going to shoot them, but in those random cases, this is where it really pays massive dividends. So this is an amazing order. And there's a bunch of other ones that kind of come in after that, where like we've got orders that whose job it is to guard specific relics. There's an order who guard.
We'll get into the more exciting ones, which is the next cast.
Yeah, the next cast, we'll spend time on.
The militant orders.
Yeah. But I wanted to spend time on, like, because I needed to close on this because I recognize in my notes I was kind of crapping on the Sisters a little bit. I'm not crapping on the Sisters. I'm crapping on the Sisters' writing, where like, oh, it's no male. They'll have no standing group of men to fight for them. But what about a woman? Shut up. You can write that better. Look, also the power armor thing's a problem.
Don't poo on Eowyn.
The power armor is a problem. The power armor is a big
problem. Eowyn could definitely wear power armor.
I know, but like—
And carry Pippin.
How long have you been playing Space Marines for? 30 years?
Yeah.
And they get outrun by a sister in the exact same—
Yeah, that's super annoying. Sorry, but no.
It's a thing.
Like, I'm sorry, but if I outweigh somebody by 600 pounds, I should also probably be able to.
Yeah, they carry multi-meltas. Multi-meltas.
Yeah. Which is a tank weapon.
Yeah, they carry them more than Space Marines do.
True story, actually. Yeah. Full squads. Yeah,
full squads of multi-meltas. Space Marines, like, nah, that would slow us down. Anyway.
Probably get poisoned.
So next week, we're going to dive hard into the Ordo Militants. Weapons, woop, woop, units, tactics, and a lot of like their key characters, especially what the hell a saint is.
A demon.
It's a happy demon, though.
It's a faithful demon.
It's a very smiley faced demon.
It's a demon.
I know. So we hope you guys enjoyed this cast and the Sisters, and we look forward to you guys joining us next week. But until then, this has been John Barsotti and Brad Chester.
This cast.